We live within the shadow of the Almighty, sheltered by the God who is above all gods. This I declare, that he alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I am trusting him. For he rescues you from every trap and protects you from the fatal plague. He will shield you with his wings. They will shelter you. His faithful promises are your armor. Now you don't need to be afraid of the dark anymore, nor fear the dangers of the day, nor dread the plagues of darkness, nor disasters in the morning. Though 1,000 fall at my side, though 10,000 are dying around me, the evil will not touch me. I will see how the wicked are punished, but I will not share it. For Jehovah is my refuge. I choose the God above all gods to shelter me. How then can evil overtake me or any plague come near? For he orders his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will steady you with their hands to keep you from stumbling against the rocks on the trail. You can safely meet a lion or step on poisonous snakes, yes, even trample them beneath your feet. For the Lord says, because he loves me, I will rescue him. I will make him great because he trusts in my name. When he calls on me, I will answer. I will be with him in trouble and rescue him and honor him. I will satisfy him with a full life and give him my salvation. I was in my late 30s, early 40s. I had two failed marriages from alcoholism, one from alcoholism and the other domestic violence. The results of these marriages were two wonderful sons. I'd gone to college, realizing quickly I wasn't going to be able to make it on minimum wage. Graduated from Tri-C as an OT assistant. I was making a decent living, owned a newer car, a house of my own, and taking vacations. I was also going to North Olmsted United Methodist Church. A coworker had said, "Why don't you come to my church?" God was working, but I never prayed. My son Michael was in college and graduated from Kent State. Mike began calling me, telling me his roommates were breaking into his room, eating his food, stealing, and it smelled bad, all believable in a house with six guys, right? The next call was that he just couldn't finish school. He needed a break. I knew he was drinking, but I still didn't pray. He came home and brought a book, and he proceeded to tell me that every chapter had people in it, telling him they were going to ruin his life. "Look, Mom, can't you see?" My heart broke. I worked in mental health. I was pretty sure I knew what this was, but I still didn't pray. Unfortunately, after the age of 21, it's nearly impossible to get someone help. So he lived at home, delusional, paranoid, making his life and everyone else's miserable, and probably my neighbor's. Taping heater ducts closed, taking snow to make coffee, accusations of poisoning him. He moved out, lived in an apartment, and worked off and on. He threatened to kill his neighbors, and because he was then a danger to others, he was hospitalized for the first time. But I still didn't pray. He refused meds and was discharged, but we had a diagnosis. Schizophrenia is a disease that strikes at the very core of what makes us all human. As the cloud of schizophrenia moves across an individual's horizon, it introduces a barrier between that person and the capacity to experience warmth, to see and think clearly, and to feel and express feelings. The symptoms of schizophrenia run across the entire gamut of capacities that characterize human behavior, cognition, and emotion, perception, thought, language, emotion, volition, and creativity. The capacity to perform these functions well is often replaced by strange and terrifying internal perceptions and experiences, feelings of estrangement, the sense that personal autonomy is being violated, and the sense that control over oneself has been lost. To an outsider, these experiences are often bizarre, frightening, and off-putting. To the person with schizophrenia and his or her family, they are frightening and depressing. The combination of public misconceptions and ignorance with intense internal suffering makes schizophrenia perhaps the most tragic of human illnesses. A wonderful social worker went above and beyond to get him SSI. God was working, but I still didn't pray. But I said to myself, why is God doing this to me? I'm a churchgoer. He had to move back home with me, things hadn't changed, and I woke up one morning to his car being gone, along with a few belongings. No goodbye. After all, I'd been poisoning him. One day, 2 days, a week. And I was in Giant Eagle. looking at Mother's Day cards, and I said to myself, oh, Michael would have bought me that one like that. The next thing I knew, someone was asking me if I was all right. I was sitting on the floor, cross-legged, crying. Okay, now I knew I needed help, but I still didn't pray. I did take meds, but there was still something missing. I went to see the pastor at my church, Reverend Roger Talbot. We talked, and he asked me if I knew how to pray. I came home and started looking through my Bible and found Psalm 91. Every night I would read that psalm and pray. Nothing lofty, just asking God to take care of him. I also was involved with a Stevens minister. I began to learn that God was not doing this to me. He was helping me cope with whatever came my way and making small miracles happen, but not on my time. 6 months later, a wonderful kind doctor called me. Somehow he'd gotten my number. God was working. Mike was in the hospital with cellulitis from poor circulation, sitting sleeping in his car. He wanted nothing to do with me, but at least I knew he was okay. We stayed in touch. I was the one who could transfer funds for him. That's why he stayed in touch. He moved from Chicago to St. Louis, had his car towed from parking on the streets illegally, and his car was destroyed. I cherished each conversation with him, but was sick inside at the same time. But I was praying. My mom, who just couldn't understand the whole mental health thing, finally got it and sent him money to buy a cheap van. At least he'll have a place to sleep, Mom said. 4 years had gone by, and I had an idea and proposed to him that he come home, watch my dogs while I was on vacation, and he could leave again if he wanted. I could sense the tiredness in his voice. He said yes, God was working. He came home, skinny, dreadlocks, looking horrible, but a blessing to me. Unfortunately, he left again, but stayed in Cleveland on the streets, usually under bridges in the metro parks. His delusion was that if he ate anything, it would destroy his brain. He called me one day from St. John Westshore Hospital. Mom, I'm really sick. He meant physically. His waist was 18 inches. He was starving himself. His vital organs were shutting down. How was I going to get him help? And then I remembered. After trying to obtain guardianship many times, he was really smart. He always got a lawyer. Which he always obtained, ask him to sign a paper if I agreed never to apply for guardianship again. Oh, that was a risky move. But God was working, and I was praying. The document was accepted, and he was placed in a mental health facility. Began taking meds that he was now willing to accept. God was working again. During this time, a wonderful man came into my life who accepted Mike for the person he was. Another miracle after 30 years on my own, but that's all a different story. There were ups and downs, but today, almost 40 years later, he's working, has his own condo, cooks, socializes, and an occasional mom clean occurs. Is he perfect? No, but I see shades of the old Michael. I still pray every night and read Psalm 91. I pray for those who have helped along this journey, lawyers, social workers, doctors, healthcare workers, friends, pastors, and Stephen's ministers. And I pray for Michael's two sons, my grandsons, who were giving up for adoption during this time. I was fortunate enough to be able to hold one of them before he went to his adoptive family. Several years ago, Mike asked me what I wanted for Christmas, and I said, oh, just draw me something. I'd appreciate that. And on Christmas Eve, he presented me with this. It's the hand of God, Mom. I found it in a book, and I thought you might like it.